Our scripture lesson today comes from Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Galatians chapter 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, came to redeem the law, those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. I heard a story of a great Cherokee woodcarver. He took logs and sat them on the stump outside of his back door, and he sat in front of that log sometimes for hours just staring at it. Finally, he would pick up his carving tools and start carving the most beautiful things out of this wood. He was known for his intricate details in the feathers of eagles, also for the look of sadness in the eyes of the faces that he carved. A tourist once asked him how he decided what to carve, and the young man said that he looks for the picture that is already in the wood. Then he just takes the excess wood away, leaving the beautiful finished image. He said people would continually ask him how he came up with the ideas as to what he was to carve. Well, people are curious about everything, aren't we? For hundreds of centuries, people wanted to know what God looked like. Many thought He might have a face of a demanding judge or a strict disciplinarian. It seems as we always put the face on God that which we fear the most. On Christmas Eve, some 2,000 years ago, God took off His mask and showed the world what He looked like. He let us see Him how He really looks. We have all heard what we call the Christmas story. And we all feel very comfortable with Jesus in a manger, don't we? But we must be very careful too. We must be careful because there is a danger in the manger. Let me explain. It's been proven that if you drive the same route to work every day for a number of years, that you become so used to the route that you stop paying attention and start letting your mind wander off the potential hazards and onto something else, anything else. We experience complacency in our marriage from time to time as well. We take for granted that person is always there. It becomes an everyday expectation that the other person will be there when and we are ready to spend the time with them. We overlook the extra things that the other does because they've always been doing them so long that we don't even think about it anymore. In the same way, those of us who have been in church for many years sometimes find the story of Jesus so familiar, so rote, that we actually become resistant to the meaning of the manger. Just like driving that same route to work or not looking into the eyes of our spouse with love and care, we become so used to the manger that we stop paying attention to it and just go through the motions. We actually let ourselves become immune to the birth of Jesus. And when we do that, we open ourselves up to all kinds of dangers. Are we so used to the story that we miss the Christ in it? Are we so used to the story that we don't see how God really looks? It was Christmas time again, and the little girl watched as her mother was so busy scheduling parties and get-togethers with family and friends that she didn't have any time to relax. Her father was also busy putting up the outside lights and decorating the yard for Christmas, that he too had no time to relax. In fact, the little girl noticed how they kept telling her to get out of the way. They were busy. And this made the little girl feel very lonely at that time of year that everyone should feel included. And so she prayed that God would forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. Christmas should not be a time of rushing, but a time of loving. And that brings us to the heart of what I want to share this morning. I'm sure that if God had asked me to plan the entrance of His Son into the world, I would have never chosen a cold stable with a manger for a cradle as the backdrop. But in that lowly setting, we actually find the true simplicity of our Lord. The mystery of Christ is beyond all human understanding, but because we have gotten so used to the story, we somehow have overlooked the mystery and have taken the birth of Christ for granted. Somehow, we seem to think that we deserve it, or in some way that we have earned it. But the God who revealed Himself that night did it in such a way as to show His true personality. He did it not because of anything that we are, but because of what He is. I don't think God entered the world just to show us what He looked like, though. He came to save us. He came to reconcile us back to Himself, if only we would just choose to do so. And if God would do that for us, what should we do for Him? Well, first, I think we should understand that this is a very important message. God did not need to come into the world. He wanted to come into this world. If there was a need on any part, it was on our part. We needed God, and we should be forever grateful that God loved us enough to respond to our need. In Isaiah chapter 7, He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." In Matthew, it repeats that the prophet Isaiah said, and then went on to explain that the name Emmanuel means God with us. Why did God see the need to send us His Son? We should see the manger and always remember that God sent His Son to us because something was very wrong with us. In Galatians, we find out just why we needed Jesus. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Did you pay attention to that? Did you hear what that really said? God has given us the full rights of being His children. We have been rebellious to our Father, and we have done all the things that He told us not to do. But He loves us anyway. In Colossians, we are told that once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Now, that may not sound like a very nice portrayal of humans, but it's the truthful one, isn't it? But be of good cheer. Because of His great love for us, God has invited us to become a part of the household once again. All we have to do is accept the invitation and reach out to Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that we're just like the innkeeper. He had a sign out in front of his place saying that he had no room in his inn. We have posted a sign saying that we have no room for God in our hearts. And now it starts to be clear just why we needed Jesus to enter into our world. The danger of the manger is that we become so used to hearing it and seeing it that we end up equating it to the celebration of gift giving and the holiday rather than to the birth of our Lord and rescuer. The manger should prompt us to think about how we have been given something so incredible that we do not deserve it in the least. And the manger should remind us that the reason we have it is that God loves us so much. I think that if our greatest need would have been for information, God would have sent a professor. If our greatest need would have been for entertainment, He would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was to be loved and forgiven, and so He sent us Jesus. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Each time we view a manger scene, we should be reminded of our sinfulness and God's righteousness. You and I, our sinfulness was the chief reason for God entering this world. But why a manger? God could have announced His arrival in many ways. He could have catered to the kings and had them tell the world. He could have made the Pharisees announce that He had come as one of them. But He didn't. He chose to do it in love. God sent an angel to tell a young virgin that she would give birth to a Christ child. And when the birth came about, He chose a stable and a manger. He did this to show the world that He came for everybody, not just the upper echelon of society. My dad used to tell us that it is better not to make waves in life. But if you ever get in a situation where you have to, make them as big and as quickly as you can to get everybody's total and immediate attention. Well, if I had one chance to make a grand entrance and get everybody's attention, I don't think I would have come in a manger in a stable. I don't think that I would notify the guys working out in the fields by night. I'm a human being, and human, being human, I would probably have chosen something as grandiose as I could think of. But that's me. I'm just a human. God, however, has more sense than I do. And He chose a manger. It's in the manger that we see His uncomplicated and perfect wisdom. God humbled Himself, and in so doing, He allows us to approach Him. Well, everybody can't go and visit kings and royalty anytime that they want to or need to. They're prohibited from being around those kinds of people. But everyone can go and visit a manger. God wanted His Son to be available to everyone, from the highest of kings to the lowest of people, the child, the prostitute, the drug user, you and me. He wanted us to know that there is nothing that He would not do for us. If we really look at it, the manger is not really the stuff of a pretty Christmas cards and plays. It's what transformations are made from, where the most important of all decisions are made. Emmanuel in the manger is how God came to be with us. My prayer is that none of us can ever again see the manger and not stop to think about the details of that scene. I pray that we will see God in the flesh. Our desperate need for God and the humiliation He went through later on. And why did He do it? All because He loved us enough to want us to come back to Him. So the question today is, how has Christmas changed your world? How will you, in remembering the manger scene, change your world? Know God's love and know the joy that comes from sharing that love with others. Amen. We have a special treat today. I apologize for not making the bulletin, but it was a busy week. But we get to share in the baptism of one of God's little children. So if Caroline and her family would come forward at this time.